Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Later, we're going to be discussing the battery of anti-LGBTQ bills that are on track in the Texas legislature. But first, we're going to hear about what state Republican leaders and lawmakers are planning for migrants in Texas this session. House Bill 20 has caught the eye of many. It was authored by Matt Schaefer, a Republican from Tyler. It would establish the Border Protection Unit that critics are calling a vigilante anti-migrant militia. It has the potential to terrorize South Texans if they happen to look like they're not in the country legally. To tell us more, we're joined by Catalina Canizales, a senior Texas strategist at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. And Catalina Canizales, welcome to The Source.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Alexis Bay, legislative coordinator for the Beyond the Border program at the Texas Civil Rights Project. And Alexis Bay, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David. Happy to be here.
And our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPRSource, send an email to thesource@tpr.org. You can text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. And I'm asking our listeners, do you feel terrorized? Do you feel like there is an imminent danger? This is what we're hearing from these lawmakers, that Texans, all Texans, are in imminent danger because of the migrants who were coming into the state from the southern border. Is that true? Do you feel that way? Tell me. 833-877-8255. Now, before we get started, I do want to hear from both sides. So we have a sound clip, and this is from State Representative Matt Schaefer. He was on Fox 7 Austin. He was being interviewed by Rudy Koski. The program is Texas, The Issue Is, and he's being asked about the Border Protection Unit.
These will be professional state employees under the authority of the Department of Public Safety Commission with special authorization from the governor. They will have gone through training. They will have accountability. They will have rules, and they will function in many of the same ways that the Texas National Guard under Operation Lone Star are operating right now.
Will they be able to use deadly force?
So our officers are going to be able to protect themselves and have self-defense. But any type of use of force would only be done with the governor's authority.
How do you envision these encounters? Will they use handcuffs, tasers?
The Border Protection Unit officers will have the authority to do what they need to do to protect Texas at the river.
Will they be able to shoot back?
They would be able to protect themselves if they were ever, if their lives were in danger. But the primary thing that we want to do is create a deterrent at the river so that people will come into Texas the right way.
Will this guard be trained like DPS troopers, or are they going to be like the border volunteers, the ranchers who are out patrolling?
There will be no volunteers that are involved here. The Border Protection Unit will be a mixture of licensed peace officers and then individuals who've been trained and qualified to be part of the Border Protection Unit, who will have limited arresting authority from the governor, exactly the way the Texas National Guard has now.
A state lawmaker referred to this idea as creating death squads. How do you react to that?
That's just someone trying to scare people.
Catalina Canizales at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. I'm hearing a lot of different descriptions about what this Border Protection Unit would do. What we just heard from Representative Schaefer sounds a lot different than from it being a vigilante death squad on the border. So what is it?
So when you read the bill, you can see how it's written that anyone who's a law-abiding citizen, meaning a civilian, can actually get deputized under this border security unit. And all the requirements is that they should not have a felony on their record. However, we know who already is participating in some of these operations in the border under Operation Lone Star, and they're organized militias. And we know that they would be the first groups to apply and try and get deputized by this new border security unit. And I think just overall, right, it's a bad idea to have untrained civilians that already have racial biases and give them powers and authority to arrest people who they think can be a migrant or an immigrant. Who is to say who is an immigrant or not an immigrant, right? We think that this is just a recipe for disaster and violence and more racial profiling against black and brown Texans. And one more thing I wanted to add is that the HB 20, when you read it carefully, is not only for like border areas. HB 20 actually gives jurisdiction to this border security unit to operate in any of the 254 counties that we have in our state. So
they could be here in Bexar County.
Exactly. So I look, you know, like a Latina, and I speak Spanish to my mother when I go out to the mall. And if someone is to say that I am an immigrant because I am speaking Spanish, they could probably have the authority to take me. So this just opens a very dangerous path for all of us Texans who are people of color. So I thought that is something that people don't know about HB 20, that is not just about border areas, but it's actually any county in Texas where the border security unit could operate.
Alexis Bay, when you heard Representative Schaefer there, did you hear a lot of half-truths? Did it make you feel better or worse about what HB 20 looks like?
I would say it made me feel worse. As a border Texan and someone who has done immigrant advocacy work at the border here in Deep South Texas, I can say that the concept of individuals at the river on the U.S. side trying to deter people back into Mexico is an absolute nightmare. From folks who are not familiar, you know, many of the folks who are coming through the river are families, there's children, there's unaccompanied minors, and just the idea, and the river at our part of the river is very, it's very dangerous. And so to have people being pushed back, you know, at the river, it just seems like it's the recipe for disaster. On top of that, Representative Schaefer is mistaken in the idea that deterrence will make people go through the port of entry. The reason that people are going through the river is because right now it is nearly impossible to go and claim asylum at the port of entry. Since 2018, metering under the Trump administration made it much more difficult for people to seek asylum at the bridges. People have been turned away. People have been told things like we've quote unquote run out of asylum. And so the policy won't have the effect that he thinks it will have.
So when Schaefer says we want people to come into the country the right way, there is no right way. The right way has been blocked. And so people are looking for other ways.
Correct.
So let's talk more about that, also about HB 7 and other bills. And we're going to get some of our callers on the air, 833-877-8255. And what about the Border Patrol? We already have a Border Patrol. Why do we need another one from the state of Texas that seems a little janky at best? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we'll be talking about anti-LGBTQ bills on track in the Texas legislature. Right now, we're talking about what's happening on the border with the so-called Border Protection Unit that's being proposed. Some people are calling it a vigilante anti-migrant militia that would terrorize South Texans. You can call in, tell us what you think, 833-877-8255. And we do have John on the line. And John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I think this has become, I mean, this is a politics issue, but I think if we take a step back and we look at the thousands of pounds of fentanyl that come over the border every year, we look at the not just Texans, but Americans that are dying of fentanyl overdoses, whether they meant to take a drug or they didn't mean to take a drug. There are a lot of issues that are coming from the porous border. So I'm not going to speak specifically to what you guys are talking about as, you know, like a death squad or whatever it is. I don't necessarily agree with everything in that, but I do think we need to shore up the border. Just from a let's take care of American standpoint, not a is it right to let illegal immigrants in the country or not.
John, thank you so much for your call. I sure do appreciate that. So let's talk about the fentanyl issue. And this is an issue that Representative Schaefer and Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick use a lot to excite the base. If fentanyl is a problem, it is a dangerous drug. It is killing people, and something needs to be done about it. But is this the solution? Are immigrants crossing the border illegally into the United States, bringing fentanyl with them? Carolina Canizales with the Immigrant Legal Resource Center, what can you tell us?
Actually, when we were testifying around this bill last Wednesday, there was a study released that most of the fentanyl that is coming into Texas is actually through legal ports of entry and not through migrants who are crossing outside of the ports of entry. So that it's one thing. And I also feel that, you know, Governor Abbott and other Texas lawmakers are going to continue to scare us about who migrants really are. Like Alexis mentioned, these folks are families. Actually, when you try to seek asylum and you are detained by Border Patrol, they take all of your possessions away. So when you get out, you actually come out empty-handed. So how is it possible, right, that these folks are going to be bringing massive amounts of drugs into our country? I would encourage you to read up the story about the San Jose Police Union president who was actually in charge of bringing in fentanyl to the California and San Diego port of entry legally, because it is definitely, we're singling out the wrong people and blaming the wrong people. Migrants are coming here to seek asylum, which they have the legal right to do. And us using police and jails and criminalization to deter people from seeking safety and protection is just wrong, especially when those type of responses by our state are so costly to us as taxpayers. We've spent over $4.6 billion doing all of these, and we could be spending that money into helping, you know, Texans get rehabilitated so that they don't use drugs, right? And we can also help Texans have better access to health care or mental health so that they don't use drugs.
We have been trying to stop drugs at the border for decades now. It has never worked. This is just, this is not a solution to that. Let's go to another caller, Delia. Delia, you're on the air.
Hello, it's Delilah. Yes.
Delilah.
I love your show. I try to listen to it as often as possible. I don't think that we're in imminent danger with the migrants coming over. I think the imminent danger is already here in the United States with Uvalde happening, with Alabama, the 16 shooting. All of these massive shootings aren't happening in these migrant in these countries that the migrants are coming from. It's happening here in the United States. So we're already in imminent danger. If I go to Walmart, if I go to a bank. So I don't think the migrants coming in is affecting what's already taking place with these individuals. And I do agree that the migrants are not carrying fentanyl with them, but fentanyl is an epidemic. Those are my thoughts.
Well, Delia, thank you so much for calling with those. Alexis Bay, let's talk about HB 7, which is a companion bill for House Bill 20. This would create a new court for dealing with people who are captured at the border by this border protection unit. So right now, if they say, what part of being undocumented do you not understand is illegal? And it says, well, that's a civil case. But now they want to make it a criminal violation, which would causes so many complications. Can you talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. So first on HB 7, effectively HB 7 is trying to funnel taxpayer money into various grant programs for border enforcement and militarization initiatives. And one of those is a grant program for courts along the border to prosecute, quote unquote, border-related crimes. We already see through Operation Lone Star that the court system is overloaded with these cases that ultimately are just trying to criminalize immigrants. It does not create safer communities. It does not make communities better on the border. We have a lot of other issues on the border that could actually use that money, but it's not related to border enforcement. What we actually need on the border is better drainage. Here in South Texas, if there is even 2 days of heavy rain, people lose their homes in the colonias. Colonias don't have proper paving, streetlights, sewage. We have a very great need for accessible health care in the valley. We have a very severe rate of diabetes, and this goes all along the border. And so we don't need HB 7 and its funneling of money to border enforcement programs, but the border has a lot of other needs that get thrown to the side in this face of immigration. And to what you are speaking about right now, an example of this is SB 2424. This bill would create a criminal offense for individuals who enter the United States unauthorized. This could apply to anyone in the state of Texas who is undocumented. It specifically actually has a part of the bill that says that people who are Dreamers who have DACA are not protected and could also be criminalized. And so this is really concerning because over half of households in the Rio Grande Valley are mixed status households, meaning at least one immigrant is in the household. And so I can say down here for the Rio Grande Valley, this is really concerning. But I think all over Texas, undocumented folks will live in greater fear than they already do because of bills like SB 2424. HB 1600 is sort of a companion bill to that. They're really trying to just criminalize anybody who doesn't have papers in the state of Texas. And this will create a lot of anxiety and fear in our communities all over the state.
Let's go to Rick. Rick has called in, and you're on the air. Rick, go right ahead.
Thanks. I wanted to comment on the HB 20 conversation and add to that we already know from empirical evidence what happens when we deputize civilians to take on law enforcement activities when we passed the Stand Your Ground laws. And we saw what happened even most recently with 16-year-old Ralph Yarrow, who was shot knocking on someone's door to pick up his brothers. And I think it's pretty clear that academic explanations for the bill aside, we actually do know what happens when you take biased individuals and give them the right to carry guns and do law enforcement activities. So I think it's a bad idea.
Rick, thank you for the call. As a matter of fact, we have a historic example here in South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. Back in the 20s and 30s, there was a program of honorary Texas Rangers, and these were people who were working for agriculture, who were actively trying to take the land from people who had historically lived in the Rio Grande Valley. They became honorary Texas Rangers, and they were used that authority to steal land. Alexis Bay at the Texas Civil Rights Project, this is something that you guys are really familiar with.
Yes, that is a really great example in history where, you know, the state has, at very various points of Texas history, we have seen the state use police forces and volunteer police forces to do acts of violence against people of color in the state, black and brown folks, but especially on the border to Mexican Americans. And so, you know, this bill, HB 20, harkens to a repeated mistake through Texas's history. And it's very disappointing to see that this same faulty, you know, idea is coming back up and is ultimately going to be targeting Texans again across the state. And now for asylum seekers who are simply seeking safety and refuge that they are legally entitled to.
Let's go to a caller, Edward. And Edward, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, all. Thank you for discussing this topic today. I had it's, you know, clear and present imminent danger is hyperbolic, but I'm finding this death squad thing to be potentially hyperbolic and as well. Are there any recent examples of, like, the present unaccountable private militias killing people, unlawfully taking land, et cetera? Because this bill sounds like it would actually begin to generate some accountability and training, which is, from what I'm hearing, is an improvement over unaccountable militias. And then a follow-up to that, if we're not enforcing our own asylum policies at the border, then we need to hold the Biden administration accountable.
All right, Edward, thank you for that. Carolina Canizales, Immigrant Legal Resource Center.
Yes, thank you for that question. I just want to say that when you read the bill carefully, there's really no measures of accountability for the folks who would be trained under the border security unit.
They get qualified immunity.
Exactly. It actually says that they would get qualified immunity, so people would not be able to have any civil or criminal cases against, you know, border security unit officers that may use, you know, deadly force, etc. And then the second part, right, that the question has is, yes, I do agree that the Biden administration and the Department of Justice should step in into this situation, but it's because of all of the violations that we've seen in the Texas border under Operation Lone Star, which is Governor Abbott's $4.6 billion, you know, program to, quote unquote, solve border issues. There shouldn't be any collaboration between Border Patrol and state troopers to criminalize and jail migrants with all of the violations that involve that we're currently seeing. And the Biden administration can also definitely end the policies like Title 42 and MPP, which is what's causing people to not be able to enter through a port of entry like asylum should be. So there's definitely a lot that the Biden administration can do. Texas Civil Rights Project, Alexis, myself, and many other Texas advocates have continued to raise the issues that we see right now in Texas and Governor Abbott's really, really harmful responses. And we'll continue to flag to the Department of Justice all of the civil rights violations. And we believe that right. The Biden administration should step in.
We're about out of time here. So, Catalina, really quickly, the Supreme Court has held firm that border protection is something that belongs to the federal government. This is not a state issue. Could there be a challenge if this is passed and becomes law, saying that this is a violation of federal sovereignty?
Exactly, right. We saw it with SB 1070 in Arizona, and we see the same case here in Texas, right? We should not allow states to just have far-reaching power and try to control, you know, federal immigration law or federal immigration enforcement, which only belongs to the federal government. So we would hope that the Biden administration and DOJ step in case HB 20 does become law.
And we do have a border patrol already on the southern border. I want to thank both of our guests, Catalina Canizales, Senior Texas Strategist at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. Alexis Bay is the Legislative Coordinator for the Beyond Borders Program at the Texas Civil Rights Project. Thank you both. When we come back from the break, we're going to be looking at anti-LGBTQ bills that are on track in the Texas legislature. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.